talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. This is Jimmy Clark on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. Well, the weather looks pretty good today. As good as yesterday. It's looking like 56 degrees, humidity's 23. It's a little more breezier than it was yesterday. Winds out of the southwest, 18, gusting up to 23, but it's still pretty nice out there compared to what Friday night and Saturday was. And speaking of Friday, let's start our weekend talk out about Friday. That wind hit about 315, 330 where I was at in the Willow area. And it hit with a vengeance, too. It was a bad boy wind. But fire got started over there on Merritt Road, south of 152, closer to Carter than anywhere. And it started actually on one of my landlord's places where he has cattle. Started right there in a corner, dirt road. Not very many people go down that road. There's not a lot of landowners in that area. It's a big area. And it headed southeast across there. There's no section lines in that area. And just a big shout out to I think Elk City, Delhi, Carter, Canute. Let me go over some of these so I don't forget them all. Custer County Task Force, Greer County Task Force, Sayre was there also. And in the update from the Carter Fire Department, they said especially from the Elk City Fire Department, because I don't know if you guys were out there Friday afternoon, but you could hardly stand up. So shout out to these guys. Big shout out to Nikki Harrison and Route 66 Sod Farms for bringing extra transports of water to those guys. Last estimate was somewhere around 1,500 acres that it got burnt, but it was mean. And the Beckham County Sheriff's Department is investigating, and it's kind of obvious where it started, so I'm not going to throw it out there and accuse anybody of anything, but it started right there on the corner where something, you know, either somebody started it or a cigarette butt got thrown out or something. You know, they always blame it on cigarette butts, but and sometimes they are at fault, but be careful out there, people. What's going on? Check your change on the trailers. Put your cigarette or cigar butts out and something inside the vehicle. Don't throw them out because it is dry country around here right now. We're still in a D3 extreme drought and no relief on the way that'll amount to anything. So be careful out there. But again, a big shout out to those guys. Matter of fact, I seen a couple of the firemen at the my next subject at the hog show at Weatherford Saturday, and whew, they looked like they had a rough night because they was out there all night. They had the fire under control, I think, by 7:30 or 8, pretty much under control, but they evacuated some people. They evacuated one of my favorite ladies over there, lives east of Carter, Kathy Carter. And that was funny. One of my buddies texted me, said, "I hear they're evacuating Carter." That was going on everywhere, but it was actually Kathy Carter, not the town of Carter. So anyway, that's a big shout out to those guys. And just be careful out there because we got more wind coming Wednesday night and Thursday. So let's be careful out there. And then they had a couple up by Grimes, one west of Grimes and one, I think, either north or east of Grimes. One of them was started from a gentleman burning a brush pile about 3 days before. And when that massive wind started, it just flared up the ashes and there was still some embers in there. And it started that fire. They get it under control pretty quick. So shout out to Roger Mills. They did a good job on that one. Please, we're in a drought. I know we need to clean up those brush piles and get stuff done, and just because it's calm tomorrow doesn't mean it'll be calm 3 days from now. Just hold off on, if you will, on your brush burning and your pile, tree piles, logs. Just hold off on it until we get some moisture there, or snow at least. Just don't do it. Well, Saturday, I got to travel to Weatherford, and we had stop number two of the Southwestern Oklahoma Show Pig Series, and it was great. There was some awesome hogs there, some awesome kids, awesome people. We had a great judge, Justin Thomas, I think was his name. He was from Texas. Me and him got to know each other pretty well. I think there towards the end of the show, he told me to shut up, radio man. So anyway, we had a good time. But Grand Champion Bear, I promised the kids I'd put all the champions on and all that good stuff today. So here we go. Grand Champion Bear was a York, shown by Rit Sites of Granite. Reserve Grand was a Duroc, shown by Heidi Smith of Hollis. Grand Champion Gilt was a Hamp, shown by Brett Thompson of Tipton. Reserve Grand was a cross, shown by Sierra Weathers of Hinton. Here's some of your breed champions. Rit Sites of Granite had Champion Burke. Newt Horn, I'm sorry, Rhett had Champion Gilt, and let me see here. I got this outline. No, we're starting all over. Stop. Take two. Wade Ritchie of Altas had Burke Champion Gilt. Rhett Seitz of Granite was Champion Burke Barra. Champion Chester Gilt was Newt Horn of Elk City. Champion Barra Chester was Abby Smith of Hollis. Champion Duroc Gilt was Sierra Weathers of Hinton. Duroc was Barra was Heidi Smith of Hollis. Switch my page here. All right, Hamp Gilt champion was Brett Thompson of Tempted. Hamp Barra was Gage Winters of Altus. On the Hereford, Gilt was Aiden Collier from Elk City. Hereford Barra was Tessa Snow from Mangum. The Poland Gilt champion was Griffin Ritchie of Altus. And the Poland Barra champion was Grayson Teal of Granite. Over here on the Spotted Gilts was Karch Carlson of Sayre. And Karch also got Champion Barra, Spot Barra. York was Cammie Bryant of Weatherford FFA. That was the Gilt. And the champion York Barra was Rit Sites of Granite. And then we get down here to the cross. Sierra Weathers of Hinton won champion Gilt on the crosses. And champion Barra for the crosses was Gage Winters of Altus. So there are your winners from that stock show this coming Saturday. The final stop, number three, will be at the Hobart Show Barn there in Hobart. So if you get a chance, go out to it. I took some pictures and put them on Facebook, on KECO's Facebook. Saturday I was over there. Got a lot of great responses. So thank you very much for looking on Facebook and checking out the pictures. And I'll do it again this coming Saturday when we're there. So check it out. So, well, when I get back, I'll do some livestock and grain reports. I skipped it, so I figured people were anticipating the show results from the hog show at Weatherford. So, anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Jimmy Clark with The Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news, Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Well, welcome back. I'm punching on this button, see if I can get this to work. Nope. Anyway, we got it. I got it figured out. All right, weather is 56 degrees, winds out of south-southwest at 20 miles an hour with gusts up to 25 now. Well, your cash grain prices this morning, they're down a little bit. Wheat's getting down there towards the $7 range. Hard red winter wheat is at $7.09. Corn's hanging in there at $5.96. Milo also hanging in there at $5.94. Soybeans is at $13.05, and oats is at $6.11 a bushel. Cotton, woo! Wish I had about 500 bales of cotton. It's up to $1.20, so it's just been coming up a penny every other day for the last week or so. So it's looking good. Cotton's looking good. Well, hang on here a second. There we go. Here's some results from the Woodward Livestock Auction last Thursday. I'm going to rattle some numbers off here for you. There was some 340 average weight steers brought $1.99 to $2.17. Average price on them was $2.10. There was some 385 weights brought $2.02 to $2.15. Average price was $2.07.19, but that was unwinged. Some 428s. $1.97 to $2.22.208 average price. And then we got some 472s still bringing up to $2. Average price $1.94.38. And then get down here into 583 range up to $1.90, $1.73 on the average. Six weights, $1.58 to $1.70, $166.77. And let's find some seven weights here. $7.29 average weight, brought up to $1.61. Average price on them was $159.62. Eight weights, here's some $8.63, bringing up to $1.59.10. Average price $157.29. Nine weights, $9.55, bringing up to $1.47. 9.16 weights here, bringing up to $1.53. They were averaging $1.50. And we have some big boys here, 1,017, bringing up to $1.44 and $142.25 per hundred weight on the average. Let's all roll on down here to some heifers. Three-weight heifers were bringing the very bottom of three weights, was bringing $1.92, 342 weights up to $1.74, $165.91 average. Let's go to some higher three weights, 364 up to $1.81, 171.70, 32 on the average weight, or price, sorry. 400 weight, 424, 153 to 170, average price, 165.33. Some higher 400 weights, 469, bringing up to $1.64, average, 159.04, and then we're unwinged. Let's go up here to find some mid-500s. Here we go. 523, bringing up to $1.74, 161.50 average price. 584s up to $1.60, 155.17. Six weights, hit some heavy weights here. 679, 153, average price, 148.93. Some seven weights, bringing 720 weights, bringing $1.38 to $1.50, 147 the average price. And then some big girls here at 877, 135 to 143. Average price on the big girls was 142.22. There you have it. Let's see if there's anything else in here. Oh, there's some bulls that they sold from. They sold some bulls here last week or last Thursday. Caught me off guard here. Bull calves, unweaned, right off the mamas, basically. 400 weights bringing $1.88. Higher 300s was bringing $1.85. And then we got some bulls in here in the five range, 148 to 167. Average price on bulls, 166.32. And then we had some 670 pounders bringing $1.45. So the higher you get on them buys, the lower they get. So anyways, market is looking good, guys. Got some calves you want to sell right now. Might be a primo time to do it. And here we go. There we go. So the North American Meat Institute and FMI, the Food Industry Association, have made the difficult decision that they've canceled their 2022 annual meat conference out of respect for the health of their communities and due to the attention and consideration of the respectful members and operations. The purpose of the AMC is to bring together retailers and meat and poultry industry, says NAMI President and CEO Julia Potts. Like the meat and poultry industry, many of our partners in the retail are experiencing significant operation and supply chain challenges. At this time, attending an in-person conference is difficult, which diminishes the value of the event for all participants. Our community is prioritizing the health of its people and operations so that we're able to continue to serve the shopper. But we are committed to sharing additional category insights with our audience throughout the year. A full refund will be issued to all the attendees, exhibitors, and sponsors. And so they will, while the in-person event is canceled, NAMI and the FMI in partnership will... with Sealed Air will hold a virtual discussion series regarding the power of meat analysis. The kickoff to the three-part series will be hosted starting February 17th. So get online and get on the NAMI or the FMI. You'll find a link to that if you or somebody out there that was going to attend that and you can't attend it. There you have it. Well, speaking of meat... here we go again. Hopefully it's not like the last one, but who knows in this country anymore. But rising COVID-19 infections amongst U.S. workers have forced meat plants to slow production again and the government to replace slaughterhouse inspectors with meat companies that's also said the union officials. Meat packing, early epicenter of the pandemic in 2020 is the latest sector to be disrupted by a surge in cases of highly contagious Omicron variant, which has also left airlines, hospitals, and schools scrambling for staff. Cargill is a top U.S. beef producer, operated a few plants at a lower slaughtering capacity last week, and looks like it's going to be lower this week. Less slaughter capacity reduces U.S. beef supplies at the time of booming demand. It means farmers must keep cattle longer in the feed yard or on the ranches. A sustained period of lower production could further increase high meat prices at a time of inflation fears. Oh, man. We're seeing cases count ebb and flow as communities work to manage the spread of the COVID-19, especially the Omicron variant. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimated processors killed 112,000 cattle on Friday. That's down 6% from last year, and that was matching January 3rd's level. They were the lowest since October. Pig slaughtering, meanwhile, is down 5% from last year on Friday. A Cargill beef plant in Dodge City, Kansas, was getting by with a skeleton crew, said Lee Richmond, a Nebraska cattle feeder and board member of the United States Cattlemen's Association. The facility supplies beef to retail, food service, and processed food customers domestically and internationally. Slaughter's backing up, he said. COVID-19 cases as of January 3rd had increased over the previous 14 days in 26 of the 36 counties where the nation's biggest beef production plants are located, according to Steiner Consulting Group. The USDA meatpacking inspectors are increasingly testing positive, said Paula Sharn Soldier, chair of the National Joint Council of Food Inspection Locals, that represents about 6,400 meat and poultry inspectors. The USDA last week shifted inspectors to an American Food Group beef plant in Green Bay, Wisconsin, allowing the cattle slaughtering to continue at the plant that was short-staffed due to the infections. We've dealt with this in the beginning of March 2020, where they were just putting the inspectors into these hot spots. American Food Groups did not respond to a request for a comment. The USDA did say it follows U.S. health guidelines and requires meatpacking workers in regions with high COVID-19 transmission to wear masks while when inspectors are present. Mark Lucenston, International Vice President for meatpacking at the United Food and Commercials Worker Union, said he had a slight upstick in the COVID-19's cases, especially at the plant that vaccinating workers early last spring, but has not made a push for booster shots. The union asked meat processors to reinstate monitors who ensure plant workers stay distance. Chicken company Purdue Farms saw COVID-19 cases rise after the holidays, according to spokeswoman Andrea Stubb. She said the increase is proportional to communities around its facilities and that Purdue is limiting production of certain products. Last one, Wayne Farms, another chicken processor, said Omicron is affecting all types of industries, including food production. That's all he had to say about that. So anyway, here we go again. Hopefully, it doesn't get crazy, but the beef prices, we don't need them to go up anymore for you consumers. We don't need feed prices to go up anymore. There's a lot of things we don't need, but FYI, you might think about this and use your own judgment on what you need to do with supplies in your house. So here we go. So anyway, I'll be back right after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 7th. 1,141 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 383 brought 214. 5 at 507 brought 176. 13 at 739 brought 132. 33 at 797 brought 142.50. 4 head of heifers at 471 brought 160.50. 6 at 519 brought 158.50. 19 at 544 brought 152. 7 at 659 brought 147.50. Butcher cows were 27 to 71. Butcher bulls 51 to 85. Bred cows 550 to 1185. Pairs brought 500. 1275. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. Still 56 degrees, southwest wind at 20, humidity is 24%, and gust winds are gusting up there to 26, so a little breezy out there. Well, one of your, I said we was going to do a cow-calf resolution for the year every day this week. One of your cow-calf resolutions this year should be to improve the water your cattle drink. Water is the cheapest and most readily nutrient, but is often overlooked. So give that some thought when you're watering your cattle. Well, how will independent meat processors and packers benefit from Biden's $1 billion pledge? On January 3rd, President Biden announced the Biden-Harris administration action plan for fair, more competitive, and more resilient meat and poultry supply chain. In that plan, the administration pledged $1 billion towards expanding independent meat processing and packing. Since that announcement, farmers and ranchers have had many questions about the plan and how it was going to be implemented. Well, one of these websites that I look at every day, Successful Farming, they sat down with USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, Jenny Moffitt, to answer a few of these questions. So I'm going to go over some of these with you. First one is, where's this money going to come from? So ask, where's the $1 billion coming from to provide funding for this initiative? The money is coming from a provision in the American Rescue Plan to support supply chain resiliency. The pandemic, major fires, recent cyber threats have all revealed America has a bottleneck in the center of our food system, which hurts farmers, ranchers, and consumers. There's also risk to food security from packer concentration. It's certainly not a fair system. It's not an efficient system. We've heard how many folks had to wait up to 18 months or longer for a processing appointment. And they've told us they've had fewer options of where to sell their cattle. That's why Congress directed the USDA to enhance the food, the deal for our food supply chain. We're doing that by supporting the transformation that's already ongoing, creating more market options for farmers to support a system that is more resilient and fair. Is there a plan for how the $1 billion is going to be distributed? The USDA is planning on using the money to suit off different things. The first is financing additional packing capacity. This spring, the USDA will be announcing $150 million in funding to support at least 15 processing facilities. This first phase will have an emphasis on grants that have the most near-term impact. We will have a second phase later this summer, she said, with an additional $225 million in funding for longer-term investments to expand capacity. In addition, the USDA will deploy $275 million in partnership with lenders to increase access to capital, initially with an emphasis on lenders that invest in underserved communities. Well, will they be grants? Other grants for processing facilities? What other programs will be the initiative be in investing in it? In addition to the capital, she says, they need to build a pipeline of well-trained workers. We have dedicated $100 million to support workforce development of employees, safe workplaces, and good-paying, high-quality jobs. For example, I can envision a community college getting funding for a training program for processing workers. We know it's very important to support technical assistance, innovation, and research and develop as well, so we allotted $50 million to support these areas. This will include independent business owners such as cooperatives and worker associations to create or expand processing capacity. One more question. What is in the program that encourages independent packers to be financially sustainable once the funding or the support runs out? For businesses to be successful, we must have a level playing field in which they can compete. That's why we are partnering with the Enforcement Division of the Department of Justice to oversee meatpacking competition to strengthen and enforce existing rules. We are creating a portal of the Department of Justice so people can file complaints. This will tell us when the issues are or might be, and lets everybody know in the Department of Justice, the USDA, and the Packers and the Stockyards Division know, hey, we got something going on. We've strengthened the rules in the Packers and Stockyards Act as well, which is the law that is designed to combat abuse by meat packers. Well, I was reading them through here. Oh, here's the one that got me going. One more. How can the USDA ensure the big four packing plants do not get the assistance? Her answer was, in this effort, our funding will focus on independent processors. More information about the terms of the grant will be provided when we come out with a request for the proposals later on this spring. The qualifications for processors and restrictions about use of funding will also be provided on the USDA's website, usda.gov/meat. So there you go. And then I go to another article, and there was a question in there to the same lady, different article, different company. Why hasn't American anti-monopoly laws prevented the big four problem from happening? Well, it wasn't a straight answer, but I'll tell you what she said. This certainly is a big problem that has been decades in making. This didn't happen since Joe came on board. We're focused on a system that exchanged for way bad efficiency over decades. As we've seen, market disruptions in the last 2 years have shown us the dangers of doing that. Now, in a pivotal moment of opportunity to transform the food system so that it's more fair, more competitive, and more resilient to future shocks as well. That's a politician's response there. So I was talking to a gentleman about this last night. What is going to prevent people from using this money and this $1 billion to either expand or build a new processing plant with grant money and then turn around? What's going to prevent them from selling this to some more of the big four people? Because these guys, I think in Iowa, and I think there's another big one going into Missouri, and I think one way up north in Minnesota or Michigan, they're building some big plants to go in competition with what we call the big four. But it's going to take years. I mean, you're talking this huge project, $300-400 million projects. It's going to take a year or two. And then for them to get on their feet and going, you're looking at 2 to 3 year turnaround for these other bigger processors that are being built right now to get going. And a lot can happen between now and 3 years from now. So my big question is what prevent these smaller processing plants, whether they process 100 or 500 or 1,000 a day, from taking a big paycheck when one of the big four comes in here and says, hey, we'll buy you out, give you twice what you got in this thing. I mean, yeah, I'd sell. So, I mean, but I don't know. What can you do about it? I guess you can't do much about it, but that was one of my big questions on that deal. So anybody got any comments on that, be sure and text me in on the 580-225-9697 KECO Ag text line. Your thoughts on what's going on with the processing. Speaking of processing, I took some to the processor over there at Sayre, the Route 66, and got them all squared away this morning on how everything needs to be processed. But yesterday I got to spend some time with Jimmy Taylor of the Taylor Ranch up there in Roger Mills County, south and east of Cheyenne there. And we had a great talk yesterday, and I'm still just, it amazes me how he does his cattle as far as picking out which bull's right for which heifer. You know, he spoke on the show before, and we'll have him back on here soon when he's not busy, but spoke on the show where he's taking DNA from his heifers, and it's given, this DNA sample is giving him a lot of information, way more information than I can talk about. But when we get him back on the show, we'll probably touch on that again. But yesterday I got to see some of the effects of it when I went up to the feedlot with him to take a tour of some of the cattle he had on hand. We was going through there, and he said, hey, I'm going to take 30 minutes to an hour to walk through this. I guess it was, I'm gonna take a guess, 100 head in that lot. He said, I'm going to look at the calves and pick out the bottom ones and the top ones. And before it was all over, we were talking football. I said, hey, there's another tackle over there, in lineman. Over here was a running back, you know, or a defensive lineman. So he goes through there yesterday, and I'm pretty sure 100% of the ones that he marked that were at the bottom of the line, and they're still good. Don't get me wrong. The cattle that he's saying at the bottom of the line are still really good calves, but what not what he exactly was wanting. He went through there, and he had already culled using those bulls that those calves were done, and then he was picking some of his top end, the tackles we called them on the line. He's picking on some of those. He's picking some of those and seeing which bull was working on those cows. So it's totally, it's, I guess it's a little complicated for me to explain. He knows like the back of his head, but it's just amazing what he's doing to build his herd up and to have the right structure on his cattle. And bottom line is what he's providing to the consumer. That's his main goal, is he wants to make sure his bottom line is looking good. And mainly, biggest point is he wants the consumers, the people he sells them to, whether it be to a packing facility or to one of us out here on the in real life down here in civilization that buys one and has it processed locally, he wants them to be happy, and he does. He does a great job. So anyway, I enjoyed that yesterday. Well, when we come back, we'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and we'll talk a little more about economics. And tomorrow, Lacey will be on. I'm looking really forward to Wednesday. I'm going to have Ray Smith, who is a professor from the University of Kentucky, on here, and he specializes in forages, a lot, mainly alfalfa, but all forages. But he's going to come on, and he had an article in the Hay and Grower magazine, the last one, if you guys subscribe to it. He's got one. He had a bit really nice article in there, and we're going to talk about that Wednesday on the show. So I really look forward to it, because he was curious also of how, you know, what we got on out here, dry land, irrigated, the whole nine yards. Hopefully I can get one of my buddies in here that grows alfalfa, so we can have a three-way conversation going here. So it'll be very interesting what's going on in the alfalfa world come Wednesday. So we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, January the 11th, we sold 729 cow bulls and kids. Thursday, January the 13th, we sold 5,013 kids and feeders for a total of 5,742 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 65 to 75.50. 10 cows bring 41.5 to 59. Bulls bring 70 to 93. 3 to 4 year old bred cows, 1375 to 1625. With a 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 900 to 1575. 9 and older bred cows, 710 to 935. 2 day year old pairs, 1150 to 1600. Steer calves, heifer calves, and feeders, extremely good market all the way through. 3 to 350 steers, 199 to 217. 4 to 450, 197 to 222. 5 to 550, 173 up to $2. 6 to 650, 158 to 170. 7 to 750, 158 to 161.5, 8 to 850, 145 to 159, 9 to 950, 146 to 153.10, 1,050 pound steers, 138 to 144.50, and 1050 to 1,100 pound steers, 137.50 to 144. On them steers weighing 4.5 that bring 220, that's $990. 5 weight steers at $2, $1,000. 100 heifers, 12 heifers, 296 bring 192. 350 to 4 weights, 159 to 181. 5 to 550, 151 to 174. 6 to 650, 148 to 155.50. 7 to 750, 138 to 150. 8 to 850, 138 to 149.5. And 950 weight heifers, 133 to 134.50. Extremely good market, particularly where it's dry. For this Tuesday, we got 31 bred cows. They're mostly 9 and older. We got 40 other bred cows and pairs more. By sale time, we'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Remember, we got 14 feeder buyers every week. I work 100% for the seller, helping you make more money. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Boop-a-doo! All right, let's refresh, make sure I'm up to date, and I am. 57 degrees currently right now, southwest winds 19 to 24. Looks like kind of a mixed bag this week. Today's high 58, we're almost there. Lows tonight in the mid-20s. Excuse me. Tomorrow, tomorrow's looks great. 62 degrees, no wind. Tomorrow night, 32, highs Wednesday, 42 and breezy. Wednesday night, 16, and Thursday looks breezy. 30 for a high. Thursday night, get out the blanket, kindle that wood, get that fireplace going. 11 degrees. Friday's 40 degrees, and looks like it starts warming back up. Depends on what weather. I've looked at National Weather Service. I looked at Mesonet. I've looked at Channel 9. I've looked at WeatherBug. I've looked at the Weather Channel, and everybody's got different weather forecasts in the next 10 days. So I don't know if anybody knows what's going on. Hopefully, Lacey can give us a clear picture tomorrow. Because I can't wait to talk to her. She went to the rodeo this weekend in Guthrie, so this ought to be good tomorrow. See if she learned anything. Also, I got a few minutes left here. Somebody texts in to me on the text line, 580-225-9697. I need two things. One, somebody texts me in the name, and if they got the number of somebody that's really good in our listening area, which is Texas Panhandle in Western Oklahoma, who's great with cutting horses, cutting quarter horses, please text somebody in there. I want to get somebody on the show. And then two, had Mr. McGee text in where last week where Hell's Corner was, which was 1 mile southwest of El Dorado. Next thing I want to know is, why is it called Hell's Corner? Because I've been to El Dorado. I used to go through there all the time working South Texas, but I don't remember why there was a Hell's Corner down there south of El Dorado. But if somebody will tell me why that's called Hell's Corner, I would be totally happy with you to do that. So anyway, I need somebody on the cutting horses and then on the Hell's Corner. So I did have a text in during last break. And this person, I don't know if it's a she or he, I think it's a he because he said he's been with his angel now for 5 years, and they haven't had a fight. Sorry, I was creeping. I went back to some of your texts to see who you was. Anyway, he said, they went to Route 66 meat place, and we bought bacon, sausage, and beef loin. We cooked it, we ate it, and we have no issues with their meat. They have a good variety of everything there. You know, I'm glad you texted that in, because you know what? We have a great variety of meat everywhere out here in Western Oklahoma. We got Keys. We got, man, we got Keys. We got Route 66. We got Shamrock. We got Quartz Mountain at Altus. We got a bunch of new ones in that I ain't memorized yet. We got 54 over in Weatherford, Bex and Shones's there. Shones's, if you guys have never heard, make some of the best German sausage in the world. So, friend Ray on Facebook, Ray Shones, and he always updates when he's making German sausage. If you love German sausage, I promise you, it's some of the best in the country around here. So we're very, very blessed with having processors around here and meat markets besides our grocery stores. Puckett's has great meat over there at Sayre, United. We got Homeland here, and I mean, we shouldn't go hungry around this country, so that's how it is. Let's see, I got somebody in. Nope, I don't know what that means, but anyway, we got that in. His name is Ron. Oh, your name's Ron. Okay, hey, Ron, thanks for texting that in on your adventures at Route 66. They are some nice, there's some nice people. Bailey and Brian are great, and they got some great help there. They're waving at you through the window and making faces at you and stuff if they know who you are. But anyway, it's a pretty cool deal. And like I said, we got it everywhere around here. There's 7, 8, 10 meat processors within just a short drive from Elk City. So if I miss somebody in there, just keep texting me who it is, and I'll get it all memorized one of these days. I know there's more meat processors out there, but I just don't have them all memorized yet. But I'm got your back if you'll just let me know who you are. Also, you mentioned that bacon that you bought. I learned something on the internet the other night. You know how you get these pop-ups when you're on social media or on YouTube or something? Well, if you'll take bacon and just twist it, keep it twisting, and then to keep it twisted, you might need to take a toothpick. You know, I'm talking about the long pieces. Twist it like the barbecue chips you get from Frito-Lay's that are twist. You twist those, and like I said, if you need to, put a toothpick in it to keep it from unraveling. And put your favorite seasoning on that bacon and put it on a smaller wired grill, and then put it on your barbecue grill. They look good. You know, just something different, just instead of a piece of bacon. Here we go. I finally got the answer to Hell's Corner, because it's always hot as hell and dry as hell, and it's just a hell of a place to make a living. So that's Hell's Corner. Well, that's about with anywhere, but yeah, probably down in there it's a little more truer than anywhere. So that's why it's called Hell's Corner. Man, I thought it was going to be something good. So anyways, thank you, McGee, for letting me know what that was. Here we go. Oh, there we go. See, we got a conversation going now. Take 5 asparagus, hold them together, wrap them with bacon, and grill them. That sounds good. And also, next week, I'm going to start bringing some reminders up on some gardening tips. I know it's dry out here right now, and gardening's the last thing on our mind. But you know, it's already almost to the end of January, so potato plant time and other things are coming up pretty quick. And I don't know what to tell you about the rain. Hopefully you guys all got water. I'm thinking about tilling mine, but it's a big garden, and I really don't want it blowing. I should have tilled it last fall and planted some rye or something for some cover, but... And I got to make a decision. Also, I got some myths to go over with you. So I learned from the hog show Saturday that if you're having trouble with varmints, like deer, just deer, we're just going to classify this as deer. If you're having troubles with deer in your garden, to go to the local barber shop and get a bag full of hair. And then come back out there. like on watermelons and cantaloupes, come back out there and spread hair all through your garden, or even corn or any of that other good stuff. Spread human hairs through there, and it will deter the deer from it. Now, whether this is a true myth or an untrue myth, I don't know, but the guy was dead serious with me. I'm going to try anything, because last year I had 2 acres of corn, sweet corn, 2 varieties, looking good, the whole 9 yards, and it started getting ready. I picked some one evening. I figured the next day or two it'd be all ready. Come back the next day, completely gone. 2 acres, I'm telling you, was completely gone. So we're going to use that. And then another myth I heard, the same guy, I don't know, I'm going to ask him if he remembers what he told me when I go to the hog show this Saturday, but maybe he was just filling me full of it. But he said, when you're, especially if you got some prize watermelons, if you'll go out there right before they start really getting ripe and it's coyote time or whatever time, to or coons, deer, put a pinning on the watermelon, on top of the watermelon, and the coyotes won't mess with it. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with the coons, because they're curious animals, and I can see them gathering up the coins and talk about that. So, anyway, question. If you want to put 2 calves in an area that is a certain amount of acreage, you have to put them in. Calves. Oh, calves. All right, got you. You recorrected yourself. I was like, what kind of calves? What kind of equipment are you talking about? Is there a certain amount of acreage you want to put them on? Yeah. You know, the big pastures out here, native practice pastures, we try to run 7 to 10 acres per head of cattle, just per head. And calves don't eat as much, but as they get bigger, they will. If you got Bermuda grass, you could probably put 2 calves on a couple acres and get by with it, as long as it was getting rain and the grass was growing and you put plenty of protein or nutrients out there for them to go. I don't know what you're going to do with these calves, but anyway, I hope that helps you out a little bit. It just depends on what size calves you got and what you're wanting to do with them. So you need at least a couple acres of Bermuda grass, if not 5 to 10 acres for a couple of calves if you're just going to raise them and have some pets around there. So anyway, well, that's all the stuff that I got for you today. You're welcome. Also, anyway, Lacey will be here tomorrow. We'll have some updates from Elk City and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Woodward Cow and Bull Sale will be going on tomorrow up there at Woodward at the Woodward Livestock Auction. And Wednesday, Hobart Stockyards will be happening. And then later on this week, we'll have some more Woodward and Elk City sales going on. Stay tuned with me, and I'll keep you up to par on all the good stuff going on with the cattle right now. God bless and have a great day. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I actually kind of like it.
KECO, Elk City.
New COVID records. Lisa Brady, Fox News. Even as cases decline in some areas, a surge continues in others. West Virginia hitting a new weekly high of more than 20,000 cases. Governor Jim Justice resuming weekly briefings today after having COVID in the past week. The 70-year-old governor, who's fully vaccinated, calling the virus really tough stuff. The Los Angeles area still surging.
The number of those dying with COVID has gone up to an average of 40 a day in Los Angeles County. That's still far below the peak number of deaths that were happening last winter, but still the highest it's been in 10 months. Last week, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said increasing deaths nationwide were likely due to lagging Delta variant-related deaths.
We have seen, as you noted, that death rates are down from Omicron of about 91%.
And yet, LA County's health department says most of the deaths they are seeing are of people who contracted COVID after December 20th, when the Omicron variant started to become more dominant.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. President Biden paying tribute to Martin Luther King Jr.
On this federal holiday that honors him, it's not just enough to praise him. We must commit to his unfinished work, to deliver jobs and justice, to protect the sacred right to vote, the right from which all other rights flow.
In his videotaped remarks, the president reiterating his push for voting reform bills to fight what Democrats say is voter suppression and election subversion. Senate Republicans blocking the bills say it's an attempted federal takeover of state-run elections. In Philadelphia, they're mourning the 12 people killed in a recent row house fire believed to have been started by a Christmas tree ignited by a lighter.
He was the kind of student who changes you as an educator because he was so genuine and honest. He reminded you to appreciate the small stuff.
School principal Mark Vitovitsky remembering 16-year-old Quintian Tate McDonald, one of nine children killed in the fire. America is listening to Fox News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful